Though hanging branches spattered them with snow, Kalyanka and Chance walked side by side, skirting a matrix of roots woven through the rocky trail. Occasionally, Chance glanced sidelong at Kalyanka's handsome face and mane of greying hair. They had followed Vehempel along a meandering route through forests and brambles, skirting open meadows and avoiding the valleys where they glimpsed marauding soldiers far below. The Dutchman was evidently steering by sight of the towering assassin looming behind the shifting perspective of lesser peaks. Some 20 yards in front of them, he strode onwards, never looking back. "He seems tireless," observed Chance. "Indeed, he is not like other men," replied Kalyanka. "You know more of Vehempel than you have let on, do I?"
"It appears so."
"Is he one of the D'Angels, or a servant of theirs?" Kalyanka hesitated. "That I do not know." Chance edged around a large boulder and fell back into step beside Kalyanka. "What exactly do you know of the D'Angels?" he asked. "Less than you would wish, my friend. All I know is what I have told you, and yet my conversations with Vehempel suggest they are a powerful cabal." Chance considered that. "Are they human?" Kalyanka laughed. "What else could they be?" "Who knows? Legends speak of such creatures as the vampire, a race of parasitic demons who prey on human blood. The D'Angels have not demonstrated evil purpose, yet rumour portrays them as a diabolical force possessed of arcane powers. Could they come from beyond the stars? Are they fallen angels sent to purgatory on this bloody sphere?" "Do you really believe that nonsense, Mr. Chance?" Chance shrugged. "All of these questions have been deeply pondered, Kalyanka. None have found answers. The D'Angels have been known to scholars for many centuries, yet they remain enigmatic, exerting an occult influence throughout this mountain range and surrounding kingdoms, whilst rarely interfering in human affairs. Occasionally, when our interests impinge on their own, they have been known to act. Little has been said of what has then transpired."
"I told you what I saw transpire," said Kalyanka.
"They destroyed an army of Magyar, and now they have sent their emissary, Vehempel, to take us to them. Is that not enough?" Chance waved away an insistent hornet. They had come into steep, scrub country. Ahead of them, a rugged outcropping of snowbound rocks mantled the shoulder of the mountain they were traversing. The sun overhead was hot, but a rainstorm seemed imminent. Black clouds massed above the assassin and were swarming in their direction. Chance looked back at Proko, hobbling slowly in their wake. "I know that at least 12 rival armies are marching into these mountains, intending to claim whatever treasures they believe are at stake. They have galvanized the interest of Black George, who must be in the pay of one or more of these armies. I know it is believed that the D'Angels are in possession of great wealth and power, that the kings and generals of neighboring states covet this loot. As they move inexorably towards another continental war, they see an opportunity to annex these mountains, whose strategic value is incalculable." He paused, resting against a twisted tree bough to light his pipe. "It seems that events are building towards a climax, which will inevitably involve the D'Angels. Has Dr. Vehempel given you no intimation of what his employees or his allies make of all this?"
"No," said Kalyanka, "but I suppose they are taking their precautions."
Chance frowned. "One would hope so." Kalyanka leaned against the rock, trying to light her own pipe against the insistent wind. "You did not seem surprised we have Black George on our trail." Chance shielded her with his body till the tobacco smouldered and she was slipstreaming smoke. "I expected it. He'll have had spies watching me since I arrived. But I have a surprise in store for the notorious Black George." Kalyanka tucked her pipe away and resumed the trail. Chance waited as she navigated footholds along a sheer rock wall, suspended over an alder forest far below. Once she was on safe ground, he followed carefully, clambering from rock to rock. Joining Kalyanka, he turned to regard Proko, gingerly picking his way across the cliff face, cursing steadily all the while. "You're not afraid he'll cut and run?" asked Kalyanka. "He's more afraid of what's behind us," said Chance. "He's been given out to me since I caught him, but he's safer with me than his bandit friends."
When the wife-beater scrambled onto the ledge, Kalyanka and Chance had already set off after Vehempel, who could just be seen through the rocks ahead. The wife-beater's howls were washed away by the wind. Looking up, he saw that no one heard and hurried after them. Further along the escarpment, Chance peered at looming storm clouds and frowned. Behind them, the light of the low moon lapped against the diffident sun. Of course, it's small coincidence that Black George's atrocities and the invasions of foreign warlords happened to correspond with an astronomical event occurring in 3 nights' time. It's believed that this eclipse, related to the perigee of the moon, will enact a grim prophecy. The Darnjal moon, Kalyanka whispered. Otherwise known as the Murex moon, nodded Chance. Interpreted by every invading army as an auspicious omen for their enterprise, these many centuries past. Thus it was when the Magyars sought to overcome King Gustavus 20 long years ago when I came here to find him, seeking refuge from his queen, Kalyanka replied. Ah, true, asked Chance. The moon was purple? I was unaware of that wrinkle. You've been present on successive occasions of this phenomenon. Few people are so lucky. Or unlucky, said Kalyanka. Yes, I suppose so. I'm immediately concerned for the villagers of the Eagle's Nest. With several armies converging in their vicinity, they're bound to suffer grim consequences. Kalyanka gave Chance a steady look. The village will be caught between opposing armies and no doubt destroyed, she said. That is my best estimation. But tell me, why are you so concerned about the villages when the fate of nations hangs in the balance? I'm concerned about all the people caught up in these events, replied Chance. That's why I'm here. Did you come of your own volition, asked Kalyanka, or were you sent? I am acting on behalf of a confederation of enlightened individuals who seek to restrain the ambitions of power-mad despots. The Prussians in particular are set on a bloody path of domination. They are determined to usurp the domain of the Darnjals to further their own bloody ambitions. He rubbed his nose furtively. But these villagers are good people for the most part. They are innocents in this business. I've done my best to prepare them and divert marauding armies away from their village, but I fear it will not end well for them. I don't wish them well either, said Kalyanka, and it gladdens my heart that you care about these people. Oh, some of them have been nasty enough to me. The more pious would see me burned alive for practicing herbal healing against the dictates of their precious church, though it has saved the lives of their wives and daughters. Nonetheless, some of these people are worthy of our concern. Kalyanka flinched as thunder crashed against the tall peaks. Storm clouds swirled overhead and heavy rain began to fall. She pulled a hood over her head as they marched on, each consumed by their own thoughts. Proko lagged behind, intermittently howling as his injured leg encountered boulders submerged in the tall grass. Lightnings multiplied with the thunder, and now the rain blew solid and fierce. In a sudden flash, Kalyanka saw the bald man ahead of them, grimacing through the downpour. They joined him under a rocky overhang to wait out the squall. As even Proko limped into earshot, the bald man turned his bleak eyes on Chance. You must leave your prisoner behind now. He cannot learn the secret ways into the hospice. Either tie him up or kill him. I have an errand for him, said Chance. There is no need to kill him, yet. Drenched in the downpour, sparse hair plastered to his skull, Proko whimpered. How do you intend to trust such a creature, Chance? Asked Kalyanka. Surely he will turn tail and flee for his home, or else find more bandits and tell them whence we have gone. I've considered these possibilities, Kalyanka. I do hope that his fear of me will outweigh his greed and stupidity. But in any case, our enemies already know where we are headed. Nonetheless, they will never find it unassisted, said Vehempel. Better that you kill this one outright. I will do it for you, if you wish. Chance looked at the bald man, who returned his stare without any expression. After a moment, Vehempel turned and strode away, disappearing behind a fold of rock. As fast as the storm had hit, just as quickly it blew away. The sun surged, illuminating the air with golden motes. Birds frolicked, whooping for joy. Kalyanka gazed up at the mountains surrounding them, wishing she had paint and canvas to capture their majesty, to express the hallucinatory luster of trees, rocks, and flowers. But Chance pulled his pack from his back, set it down, and extracted a leather parcel, notebook and pen. Squatting on his haunches, he wrote several lines and tore out the page, handing it to Proko. Rising, he untied the halter around the wretch's neck. The wife beater cried out, shivering despite the brilliant sunshine. He returned a sullen glare as Chance laid a firm hand on his shoulder. Proko, you will return now to the village. You will find Olaf the innkeeper, and you will give him this. Chance unwrapped the parcel, producing a metallic artifact that glowed in his right hand. He held it up. Kalyanka gasped.